This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. I don't know where we're going to go this hour. I mean, we have to talk about companies laying people off, which sucks. A border security plan I can get behind. Hershey's chocolate emails. All that. So much more coming up in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's talk about something good. I want to talk about something good, something I find to be uplifting. Bangladesh is floating the idea of putting crocodiles on their border for border patrol. And I love this. What, Chris? Listen, oftentimes, I've said this before, communists will explain my worldview better than loser Republicans do. For instance, Joy-Ann Reid. Remember that clip we played? Chris, will you grab that Joy-Ann Reid clip from last night? Joy-Ann Reid was trying to sound scary, make me sound scary, make you sound scary. She was trying to make this sound like a bad thing. But Joy-Ann Reid, when she went on camera and tried to make us sound scary, actually outlined my plans perfectly.
Is that if you go back before the 20th century, there were no income taxes, there were no regulations on business, you could earn as much money as you want, leave 100% of it to your children with no taxes.
Right.
That's the world they want back. And to get it back, they need society to change. They need people to be less modern.
Yes! Yes! That's perfect! I'm not going to ask Chris to go back and get it, but Obama, at one point in time, speaking of the Border Patrol, Obama, he said, oh, these Republicans, they want to put crocodiles and alligators down on the border. And of course, Republicans scrambled to the microphone. That's not true. We're looking for a humane thing. I think I was the only one who was like, yeah, that's awesome. It's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what I want. Good. That's exactly what I want. Rashida Tlaib. Tlaib, whatever. Remember, it wasn't long ago. She was in the congressional hearing, and she held up this picture that the Department of Homeland Security had put up, and she said something to the effect, I forget exactly what she said. She said, you know what this makes me feel like? This makes me feel like a Muslima, and I don't even know what a Muslima is, and I've never heard that term before in my life. This makes me feel like, as a Muslima, that I'm not welcome here. And of course, yes, that's exactly it. Death. You've got it figured out. That's exactly it. Communists outline my worldview so much better than Republicans do that it's sad. But I support you, Bangladesh. I want you. I want those crocodiles on the border. I also want Americans to stop getting fired. Oracle's mass layoffs on March 31st stunned the tech world, not just for their scale. 30,000 people were immediately terminated. But with this is from Newsmax. But with Oracle's $50 billion capex on AI data centers still in the works, and cash flows paling in comparison, the cuts may not be finished. Do you remember when we had Ryan Gerdusky on the show, and he talked about AI? If you don't remember, I'm buddies with Ryan Gerdusky. He's one of these political nerds. He breaks down all the polls. He really gets down to the nitty gritty of what people are feeling and what they're not. One of the reasons I like Ryan is one of these types. He doesn't give a crap if it's something you want to hear or not. He's just going to give you the data. This is what the data says. This is what it is. You may love it. Sometimes you love it. Sometimes you hate it. But he said something that I thought was really, really inspiring. And I found it inspiring because it goes along the lines of something that I had predicted on the show. I said, AI, artificial intelligence. I understand it's all the rage and things like that now, but I am not as afraid of it as other people are because I thought human beings would reject it. Human beings will not like it. It's always being sold as it'll make your life better. It can do this. It can do that. It can do this. But human beings instinctively, they will want things from other human beings. They will reject AI. People make these predictions like AI will make all the music. And I know there have been big AI music songs. I understand that. But AI is going to make all the movies and write all the books and AI this. And you're going to have AI radio shows and things like that. I think people will hate it. And they'll reject it. And when they find out it's AI, they will not like it. Human beings will instinctively reject it. And anyway, Ryan Gruduski comes on the show. And he said, AI is an 80-20 issue with voters in the United States of America. Meaning 80% of the people in the United States of America have a negative view of it. They are worried about it. They are going to reject it. They want a politician who will dig in on rejecting it. And some of these corporations, I don't think they're appropriately reading the tea leaves on this stuff. I understand a corporation has to make money. That's the entire purpose of any business, is to make money. Make money for yourself. If you have shareholders, make money for them. Make money for your employees. The bottom line is the whole bottom line. That's what a business does. I get that. And on a P&L, a profit loss sheet, it displays about exactly what you think in case you don't know what it is. But you can look at it and you can see your expenses. And every business owner, large businesses and small mom and pop shops, every single one of it looks at the labor cost, what you pay people, and thinks to itself, are we paying that much? Do we have to pay that much? Now, AI tells that big corporate CEO, hey, I'll cut that number in half. And that big corporate CEO, trying to expand his company, trying to increase the size of that Christmas bonus check, trying to figure out a way to cut costs, and he gets presented with a plan to cut that number in half, he thinks to himself, wow, that's pretty worth it. Hey, send out the email. 30,000 people are fired. But humanity does not exist on a profit loss sheet. And if businesses are going to start doing this in mass, if they're going to start doing this at the level some of them are doing this, I think these businesses are in store for a public backlash. Some of that public backlash, I think, will be uglier than other public backlashes, and this is what I mean. One thing I guarantee you is coming. Chris, write this one down. I guarantee you something is coming, and that is, politicians are going to start regulating AI. They're going to start regulating how many people can be laid off with AI. Now, this is going to involve all kinds of government intrusion in business, and in the end, they'll screw it all up, and it'll be terrible. But when a politician is handed an 80-20 issue, he's going to act on that just out of self-preservation. He is. Now, that's the best side of it. Here's the uglier side of it. People are going to get killed. I'm talking about CEOs are going to get killed. I already heard through the grapevine that Oracle, after they canned 30,000 people, apparently they locked down their headquarters like it was Fort Knox with armed security, because when you tell 30,000 people they don't get a paycheck anymore, the chances are there's one guy or one gal in there who's going to lose his mind and come back with a gun. chances are pretty strong you fired at least one unbalanced person who's violent. I'm not cheering this on. This is the last thing in the world I ever want to see. You know that. But I think if it's going to become the norm in the corporate world to do mass firings because you are doing a big company transition to AI, I think that United Healthcare CEO who got gunned down in the streets in New York, remember that story? Terrible story. I think that he's going to end up being one of many. I think you're going to see people die. You start taking away people's livelihoods en masse, people die. It's always been that way. People die when too many people get fired. Because like I said, there's always some violent psycho in there, maybe on drugs, drinking too much booze, nothing left to lose. That rhymed. Drinking too much booze with nothing left to lose. What, Chris? What? I don't know what that is. Is that song lyrics? Did I steal someone's song lyrics? Or did I write my own just now, Chris, live on the air? This is amazing. This is why I told you I should have been a singer-songwriter. Drinking too much booze, nothing left to lose. See? We have most of a song right there. I bet Pure Talk will back me. I'm going to get a hold of, you know what? I'm tempted to dial someone right now. What, Chris? I'll dial #250. I'll say Jesse Kelly. I know it's going to be an American on the other end, so I won't have to translate my song because Pure Talk hires Americans. And they're so friendly on the phone, even if she thinks my song sucks, I bet you money she's going to be all, that's the best song I've ever heard, and I'll drink with nothing left to lose, and she's going to love it. Now, you should lose Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, by the way, because they're charging you way too much, and they're dirtball commie companies who hire foreigners, and you don't need to send your money to companies like that. Keep your phone. Keep your number. We're talking plans for $35 a month? Come on. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Thursday. It's Tuesday. You know what happened? We singer-songwriters. Sometimes our mind works differently than non-artists. They wouldn't understand it, but drinking too much booze, nothing left to lose, yada, yada, yada. It's all coming together, Chris. It might end up being a heavy song.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Almighty Oracle, I'm searching for advice. My daughter accepted a call to serve as a Christian missionary for our church in Nashville, Tennessee for 18 months starting in May. Dang, that's a stretch. She is returning home from school in the next week to prepare for her departure. How would you handle the next month before she leaves? We're going to go on a family trip within this time, but what do you think is best for father-daughter time, understanding you don't have daughters? Love your show. When are you coming out to Utah? So on and so forth. You know what? Take her to a baseball game. I tell you something. Maybe I'm just getting old, but taking my kids to a ball game doesn't have to be major leagues, by the way. Whatever. Find something. Taking my kids to sporting events. Half the time, they don't give a crap about the sport that's being played. There's just something great about it. And we go get cotton candy together and we sit there and we cheer when everyone else cheers. And you treasure those moments. The other night I was watching the Astros game. I'm watching the Astros game, just relaxing. I'm kind of browsing on my phone, kind of doing some makeshift show prep for the next day, seeing if anything's out there that I can entertain the masses with. And my son, Luke, comes downstairs. He said, oh, the Astros are on? Yeah. So he goes back upstairs because he was putting together these figurine things. It's hard to explain. He comes back upstairs, grabs them, comes back down, plops down right beside me, and puts them together watching the game with me. It's cool, right, Chris? And I have to be honest, I am probably horribly biased in this thing, and here's the reason why. The last thing I did with my father on this planet was watch a baseball game. We got up, we went fishing with the boys that morning. Remember I told you this story? And then we went to some Cajun restaurant. My dad loves food like I love, and we made disgusting pigs of ourselves, stuffing our faces. Came home that night, everyone had dinner, we got cleaned up. All the women went away so we could actually hear ourselves think. And dad and me sat down and watched a baseball game. We didn't even care about the teams. It was the Dodgers were playing somebody. I forget what it was, playoffs, but Dodgers were playing somebody. And we sat and watched a baseball game. Told him goodnight, never saw him again. So I don't know. There's just something about that. I think whatever, who knows. Jesse, I've been trying to figure out why the media is so pro-communist. For the life of me, I don't get it. What do they think they would gain by living in a communist company? Are they that stupid? All right. Let me explain something again about the communist mentality. So I've used many countries as an example of this before, but I want to actually go to the Soviet Union because they're one of the best ones. They, when they first had their revolution in the Soviet Union, it's not like they had a communist revolution and then, well, the country kind of runs the same way. It's just the communists are in charge. Not at all. They got rid of the czar, and yeah, the communists were technically sitting in the seats of power in the government, but the people were starving the same way they were beforehand. So the communists, they knew they had to feed the people somehow, some way, while at the same time crushing dissent, or their little revolution was going to be very short-lived. Starving people will overthrow any government. That's just bottom line. They will. Starving people will act in those ways. The communists, to get the food and to crush dissent, they went not only to the prisons, which we've discussed before, and I don't just mean they opened up the doors for political prisoners. They said, hey, rapist, come here. How'd you like to eat every day? We'll make sure you're fed. We're going to give you this gun, and we need you to do some things for us. They armed the sickest, most violent people in their society, and then sent out these armed gangs. I mean, they called them military units, but sent out these armed gangs to go steal food from people and murder people. I talk about the Cheka because that's what I call the FBI. The Cheka was the first secret police agency in the Soviet Union. It's the one that Lenin and all those guys got rolling. They called it the Cheka. That's what it was known as. Well, I hope you're not under the impression the Cheka was a bunch of, you know, street cops who decided to move on to the federal program. It's packed full of criminals. Scumbags. It would be like going down to some violent state prison somewhere with FBI badges, not just letting them out of prison, handing them FBI badges. Said, hey, you guys work for me now. Now those became the secret police agents. What I'm trying to get through to you is I don't want you to be under the impression that the communist revolutionaries, the people fighting it, that they think there is some lofty end goal where they're going to get. They're just destroyers. They're scumbags. And we're not just talking about the street animals, the media people too. That's right, Chris. Revolution without end. Lenin said, the worse the better. The revolution never ends. The destruction never ends. They don't have some destination. You think about things like a destination. So when you look at some dirtball in the media protecting the communist revolution, it's not hard for you to figure out where this is going and how terrible this is going to be for everyone else because you're a logical person. They just want to destroy. With these criminals, the media always protects. You know, the teens, another group of teens today. Well, can't they see eventually they're going to take over everything and they're going to be killing people in mass? They're just soldiers in the revolution. They've been given a gun and an FBI badge, and they're marching forward on behalf of the revolution. Don't assign your logical thinking to evil demonic destroyers. All right? We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Portland judge says she's too busy running for re-election to oversee trials. I understand that. Stuff being busy all the time. It's Jesse. Your explorations of history are easily my favorite part of your show. I wanted to make a pitch. I've been watching the Spartacus TV series. I'd love to see if you could make a series or even just devote part of an episode to the Third Servile War. I'd find it fascinating, not just because of Spartacus and his insane feats like breaking the Romans, pinning him on top of Vesuvius by making ropes from vines and climbing down, but also it was put to an end by Marcus Crassus and Julius Caesar, so it'd be so on and so forth. Also, if this gets read on your show, hi, Dad. He says his name is Dell. Dad, you're raising a good boy there. Also, Dad, do you monitor what he watches at all? That Spartacus TV series is not for kids, man. There is a lot of... Chris, what? Have you seen... What? Chris said, is it any good? I don't want to answer that because it's really, really not for kids. Dude, I'm not just talking about violence. Man, there's a lot of adult stuff. A lot of adult stuff in that show. I can't stress that enough. Yeah, it's outstanding. Absolutely. It's absolutely outstanding. I thought it was really, really well done. I forget what TV network did it. Star? I think it might have been Stars. It was years ago where I watched it. I thought it was very well done. That might be a good idea. The Third Servile War would be a good idea. I am still currently tackling Napoleon's disastrous retreat from Russia. There's just so much to that, so I'm still chopping away at that. I hope you don't think I've forgotten. I'm working on another. That one will probably end up being a long one, so I'm working on that one. Third Servile War is a very good idea. I will give you this, though. Here's something. Decimation. You've probably used that term in your life. You've probably used the term incorrectly. Everybody does. I do too. When we say somebody has been decimated, what are we saying? We're saying wiped out, completely wiped out. That person was wiped out. Except that's not what decimation actually means. Decimation means reduced by 10%. Now, the practice of decimation was one that is normally assigned to the Romans, understandably. What was it? If your unit showed cowardice on the battlefield, turned and ran, something like that, then they would essentially draw straws. Pick a number from a hat. That's what they would do, pretty much. And there were 10-man units. And whoever got the short straw, wow, was that a short straw. Because the other 9 men, his friends, remember, these are people, they are closer than your brothers. They would have to beat him to death. So it's not just that you die, you are beaten to death, and you are beaten to death by your closest friends. I don't know who that's more traumatic for, the guy who's getting beaten or the one having to do the beating. Could you imagine? Now, people say the Romans did this. It's true and it's not true. Remember when we talk about the Romans, we're talking about a 1,000-year empire. America, we're 250 years old this year. 250. Now, that's actually a pretty good run for an empire. Think about being a quarter of the way done with it. 500 years from now, still United States of America. That's probably not even realistic to think about, right? But that was the Roman Empire. So when you say things like the Romans did this or the Romans did that, usually you should qualify that by saying there was a period of time when the Romans did this. I brought all this up because you brought up Crassus. Crassus was, they say, the wealthiest man who ever lived, one of the wealthiest men who ever lived, a Roman. But he didn't have a ton of battlefield accomplishments. That ended up getting him killed in the end. We'll get to that another time. But Crassus, they had this slave army led by Spartacus. And the slave army was whipping the crap out of all these Roman armies that were coming. Quick pause for a second. We don't know. Now, I might have some scholarly type who tells me we have confirmation of this, but I doubt that because I've looked into it pretty extensively. We don't know exactly what Spartacus's military background was. I think we do know he was captured as a slave from a military campaign. I think they think, historians think, that he was a military commander of some kind, which would make sense because this is clearly not your run-of-the-mill slave. This is somebody who knew what he was doing. Anyway, he's slapping around these Roman armies. Crassus says, I'll lead an army down there, and I'll go down and whip him. Well, Crassus's boys take a whipping at first. Crassus brought back decimation for his troops when it hadn't been practiced for a long, long, long time in the Roman Empire. When he did it, it was one of those things that showed how truly desperate the Romans were. Because don't think decimation was something that just happened all the time in the Roman Empire. No, they knew. It's a little far. Maybe a little too far here. Very, very, very rare. But when you have a gigantic slave army potentially going to conquer the entire place, and your guys don't perform the way you think they should, well, old Crassus brought it back. Probably a pretty ugly day. Jesse, you say you ran for Congress twice and lost twice, but you gloss over the fact that you're 2-for-2 in primaries. Why don't you share more helpful insight in that area with people who consider running for office rather than always reminding us how bad you suck? I also have never heard you say that Giffords cheated. That's all class, man. Everyone knows she did. I don't want to be that guy. And I don't know that, by the way. I don't have any idea whether there was cheating or not cheating. I lost by 4,000 votes. What you going to do? That's the way it goes sometimes. And, hey, I lost 2 general elections. What's winning the primary get you? That's not. What's that? What do you get? What is that, a participation trophy? Now, yes, I ran in primaries and won, and I don't think it's because I have some particular skills or something like that. I'd never run for office before. I'm very far to the right. I'm extremely far to the right. I don't know of a single politician who is to the right of me. I don't think I have a single friend who is to the right of me. I hope you don't think I was kidding about crocodiles on the border. I'm not joking about that at all. I hope you don't think I'm kidding about shipping illegals to a penal colony in Greenland before we send them back to their home. These are positions I actually hold. It's not for radio. I actually hold these positions. So in a Republican primary, you want to be the one furthest to the right. Nobody was going to be able to get to the right of me. It's because it doesn't exist. You can't get to the right of me. That's not a position that is obtainable. So it was never going to happen. Now, that combined with the mood of the country. Remember, this was the Tea Party era where Americans were horrified by Barack Obama and they wanted to go out and do something about it. And so there were rallies. We'd never seen rallies like that before. So we were getting more and more bloodthirsty at a time when bloodthirsty me started running. It all worked out for me to win the primary. But now I'm talking to you, so I guess it didn't work in the end. Anyway, one more segment. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show before we return tomorrow. And we'll address, I don't know, world peace? World war? I guess we'll find out everything tomorrow. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hershey's quietly changing recipes after facing a backlash. So, are you one of these people who thinks things used to be better? Of course you are, because they did. Are you one of these people who thinks things used to taste better? Of course you are, because they did. Let me explain something, my buddy Chef Andrew Gruhl has explained multiple times. The restaurant industry, we're going to move off Hershey's. The restaurant industry, for instance. Have you noticed that lots of food tastes the same now and it's not very good in restaurants? It tastes the same and it's not very good. It tastes the same, it's not very good. It tastes the same, it's not very good. Why is this so consistent? Are your taste buds changing? No. Very few food supply companies exist now in the United States of America. So very likely the chicken wings you're eating at Applebee's come from the exact same supplier who gives them the chilies, who gives them the this, who gives them the that. You see what I mean? We have, for a laundry list of reasons, we have allowed these gigantic corporations to kind of eat up all the smaller ones in the United States of America. And now there's just one or two. There's no variety. So there's no variety in squat. Anyway, I'm passionate about this because I'm a big Reese's Peanut Butter Cup fan. And I recently, I recently bought these Reese's Peanut Butter Cups that had Reese's Pieces stuffed inside of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. What, Chris? What? Do they have a bunch of stoners up there? I mean, I don't know. Whatever they have, they need to keep them, right? But you're right. There's no way there could be drug testing if someone came up with that. Either way, it was good. It was good. I don't want to besmirch it. It wasn't great. I thought I was walking into great. I thought I was going to be walking into Flavor Town. It just wasn't. It wasn't what I thought. And I thought, am I getting old? God forbid, am I getting healthier? Surely not. Anyway, I'm glad the ingredients are changing back. I don't know why we're talking about this. Let's play the Dirtball Mayor of New York again.
We stand here together at New York City Health and Hospitals Bellevue, opening an outposted therapeutic housing unit for incarcerated individuals, the first facility of its kind.
Do you have your burner launcher? What do you carry on you that's going to stop one of those incarcerated individuals they let out of jail? Did you think these people were kidding when they said they're going to close the jails, they're going to empty the jails, they're emptying them onto our streets as fast as possible? And you can say, well, I live in a red area. Yeah, well, they have cars. They get on buses, and they come to your red area to loot and rape and murder and pillage. Now, what does your daughter carry on her? A burner launcher is legal in all 50 states because it's non-lethal. It shoots tear gas balls or pepper rounds. SWAT teams carry these things, and it's small. If you get it for your daughter, she can carry it on her in her little purse. She can carry it on her and should when she's out for a jog. When she's at home, it should be by her bed. This thing works. It's already saved the lives of my listeners. BYRNA. Byrna.com. If you have a Sportsman's Warehouse in your area, you can go down and try it. Bring your daughter. Byrna.com. All right? All right. Jesse, please mention on your show tonight why you call Kamala Harris dome. I was in prison for 4 years in Florida. I listened every weekday night, even when you had James T. Harris and so on and so forth sub-host for you. Anyway, there are still lifers in Dade in the prison system listening to your program because I turned them on to it. Says I don't have to mention his name. I've always thought that was so freaking cool that we got dudes incarcerated just hacking away at it, and making their day a little bit better too. Going to turn their lives around. Now that you're out of the joint, brother, don't ever go back. All right? You got this. Jesse, can you explain why if we lose Texas, we lose the country? I'm from California. I'd like to know more. Go look at the Electoral College votes and how they're tallied. Here's how it is. It's a simple math equation. Each state, really based on its population, gets a certain number of Electoral College votes to elect the presidency. Because Ronald Reagan foolishly let in a bunch of foreigners and gave them amnesty, California, which used to be solidly red, is now one of the most communist states in the United States of America. Solidly blue. California has comfortably the most Electoral College votes. That means every time there's a presidential election, we start out behind, way behind, because they get California. The only state we have that helps us gain back a lot of that ground is Texas. If we ever lose Texas, and we're not losing Texas, don't worry, we'll be fine. If we ever lose Texas, well, if you start out a presidential race and you are California and Texas behind, then it's probably not realistic that you can catch up again. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you would probably have to go on to win 40 states if you're going to overcome not having California and Texas, maybe more than that. There are just so many Electoral College votes. You can be California behind and win the presidency. Trump just did it. You can't be California and Texas. It doesn't work that way. And then you get what? Mass amnesty.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Minneapolis Planning Commission advances overnight parking plan for people living in cars. Communists will destroy your society to such a degree that they now will just put in plans for people who live in their cars. I want to remind you, Minneapolis, when I was a child, was gorgeous. Anguished final words of a boy, 15, who was shot dead by an illegal migrant, 18, who tricked him into thinking he was meeting a girl. Democrats bring these people into the country as fast as humanly possible. Remember that. Russia and China veto a UN resolution on reopening the Strait of Hormuz. I guess Russia hasn't really forgotten about us providing Ukraine with weapons to kill Russian soldiers for years and years and years. We had to know they were going to get back at us somehow, some way, and rumor has it that Russia has been dumping some weapons on the Iranians that can hurt us. That's not good. Iranians form human chains at power plants. I was thinking about that today as I saw these things earlier. That has to be so boring. You're just standing out. What, Chris? You're standing out in front of the power plant. But I guess that may be the plan. If you're standing there for long enough, you'd probably be like, I hope they drop a missile on me. I'm done with this whole thing. Either way, I'll come back tomorrow. We'll talk about all this stuff. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.